Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
The time was about A.D. 26. The place was Bethany beyond the Jordan. He was about the age of 30. This man by the name of John the Baptist went forth, stirring up people on both sides of the Dead Sea. The Bible identifies for us that a committee of priests and Levites came together to question John, and they asked him, "Who are you?" John chapter 1 and verse 19. He understood exactly what it was that they were inquiring concerning him, and he understood the reason for their question, and it prompted him to say, "I am not the Christ," John chapter 1 and verse 20. Good people, the interrogation continued on, and they said, "Are you Elijah?" And he responded, "I am not." And they went on to ask, "Are you the prophet?" They wanted to know if he would claim to be the prophet that Moses had said would eventually come in his likeness. And John understood this, and he said, "No." And they inquired of him further and said, "Who are you then, that we might be able to go back and to tell those who has sent us?" Good people, John gave these individuals a very cryptic answer as they questioned him. In this he said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness," John chapter 1 and verse 23. What is John's message, and what was it that he came to do? Good people, the Bible tells us that he came to prepare the way for our Lord and Savior. In his message tonight, I want us to consider the high points as to what John dealt with in the course of the things that he taught as the one who came to prepare the way for our Lord and Savior, but not only to understand how these things applied to the people that John was speaking to and even to himself, how do these things apply to you and me as members of the Lord's church? Good people, first we understand that John came as a voice crying out, "Deny yourself," in a wilderness of self-indulgence. Whenever we consider John, we see that John was indeed the epitome of a self-denial as well as of self-discipline. This man, John, good people, as he is presented in Scripture, we could picture him possibly with wild-blown hair, a sunburnt skin. He would have had rough clothing made of camel's hair. And also we understand is that around his waist he would have had a large, wide leather belt, and he was a man who lived off of the land. The Bible tells us that his diet consisted of locusts, which was an insect much like grasshoppers, as well as wild honey. The Bible also identifies for us concerning this man John that he was a man of God. And in all of this, we see that he was going forth with the good news about the coming of Jesus. What produced this type of a man? Good people, first and foremost, I believe that John was able to be an individual who denied himself and focused upon our God because he himself was reared by godly parents. According to what we read in the book of Luke chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, his father was a priest, Zacharias, and his mother, Elizabeth, and the Bible tells us that they both were righteous and that they both walked blameless before the Lord. Now understand this, it does not say that one of them, but rather that both of them, both parents walked according to the way of the Lord. Both parents loved God, and they lived according to His precepts that that God had laid down before them. He also came with a godly purpose. He did not come to tickle the ears of mankind, but rather, good people, He came to be great. To be great amongst the people. And in fact, His greatness was brought forth by our God. And the Bible also brings before us is that He was a man who had been trained, a man who had spent much time in preparation for His work. This man lived His life. He lived His life proclaiming and identifying exactly what you and I need to know, what it means to deny ourselves and to live our lives according to a disciplined life that God will be pleased with. Good people, today, as you and I live in a world of self-indulgence, our God wants each and every one of us to deny ourselves in following Jesus. What does He mean to deny ourselves? To realize that our life consist of more than just satisfying ourselves, but rather that if we really and truly want to be considered citizens in God's kingdom, we need to put ourselves away as we seek to follow our Lord and Savior. We also understand, as is taught in the book of Luke chapter 7 and verse 30, the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God. Why? They rejected Him because of themselves. Because the things that God required of man in that time, and subsequently even today, it did not fit what they wanted, what they were going to be pleased with. And for this reason, the Bible tells us that they rejected the requirements, the commandments of our God. According to what we find in the book of Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, you and I need to take up our cross and follow after Jesus as we deny ourselves in the world that certainly is centered in and around self-indulgence. But also, we understand that John came as a voice crying, "Change your ways," in a wilderness of complacency. John did not beat around the bush whenever he proclaimed the message of our God. Like Jesus, John came in the fullness of time when heaven's eternal plan was set to come, when everything was right. And in this, we see that he played a very vital part of our God's proclamation and of our God's plan for the good news in Jesus Christ our Lord. What did John preach and teach while he was here? Good people, he preached the truth. He did not worry about what people thought. In fact, the school of thought at that time, for a long time, amongst the people, these people considered themselves, simply because they were Jews, that God would accept them on the terms that they belong to the lineage of Abraham. And in all of this, John realized the school of thought, and John called them broad vipers. What is he saying? It's the same thing as saying, "You snakes." Good people, he wanted these people to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Yes, John preached and teach repentance. He wanted these people to understand that the kingdom of God was at hand. What does he mean, that the kingdom of God was at hand? Or that the kingdom of heaven was at hand? It's the same. Good people, he's wanting them to understand that God's kingdom was getting ready to take place, that God's kingdom was getting ready to be established during their lifetime. In fact, later Jesus proclaimed much in the book of Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, that there would be many standing there that day that would not taste of death until they saw the kingdom of God come with power. John wanted these people to understand that God's kingdom that they had heard about, that the people of old realized was to come into existence, that this kingdom was up on them, that it is getting ready to take place. And because of this, John calls upon them to repent, to turn, to change their ways. But also understand that in preaching and teaching truth and repentance, John preached baptism. He preached baptism for what? Because it is required by God. It is a commandment of God. And he preached baptism, that baptism under the new law in Christ would be essential for salvation. Good people, today, you and I live in a world that is complacent. It's satisfied with where it is. And as members of the body of Christ, we need to get up off of our seats and in to this world, reaching out with the good news that is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. In all of this, we need to realize that the people of this world need the truth. There is indeed a way that seems right unto the men, good people, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. In all of this, we need to proclaim the word. Preach the truth to these people. But yet at the same time, realize, as what the Apostle Paul taught in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, that we may indeed make enemies because we preach and tell people the truth. Paul said, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Teaching, being that voice crying in the wilderness of complacency for people to change their ways, is not going to be well received. It's not what people want to hear, but good people, it's what they must hear in order for them to have hope, in order for them to have a chance beyond this life of an eternal life in heaven with our God. We need to listen to that voice ourselves, but then in like figure, we need to be that voice shouting out to the world that is dying outside of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Also, John came as a voice crying, "Believe," in a wilderness of doubt. John was totally convinced He was totally convicted in his mind, in his heart, that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. And good people, we find that this is characteristic whenever we consider the fullness of John's life and his ministry concerning the good news of Christ. We also understand how these things were confirmed in John. How and why did John believe fully that he was the Messiah? Because of the things that he observed. You'll notice the context of the book of Matthew chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. Good people, in all of this, John realized that Jesus was not your ordinary man. He realized that there was something special about Jesus. And in fact, not only did he observe that Jesus was different, that Jesus was special, it was also given unto him by divine revelation. Whenever Jesus Christ came to be baptized of John, John realized that indeed he needed to be baptized by Jesus, but yet Jesus to fulfill all righteousness, understand, not because Jesus sinned. Good people, Jesus did not sin while he was here upon the face of the earth, but rather he lived a very perfect life. Why was Jesus baptized? To fulfill all righteousness. And in this, the Bible reveals that it was at that time that John had it revealed unto him that indeed this was the Messiah, the Son of God. Also, as a result of all this, the Bible paints the picture for us that John had developed within him a faith, a very personal faith, a real faith, 100% that this was the Messiah. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away sin." Good people, you and I live in a world today that is filled with so much skepticism. We live in a world today where people doubt, it seems like, everything under the sun. And more specifically, they doubt the faith that you and I have. They doubt the existence of our God. And you and I need to be that voice that cries out unto the world that they must believe, that faith is indeed essential, as what the Hebrews writer exclaimed in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And that man must believe with the heart. Why with the heart? Good people, we're taught in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Man must come to believe with their heart. To what level must they believe? According to what is taught in the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 37 and following, when Philip taught the Ethiopian eunuch, as he told him about Jesus, the scripture says that as it came into a certain water, that the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." Not with part of your heart, but rather with all of your heart. If you fully are convinced, if you are not only convicted of your sin, but if you fully believe with all of your heart that indeed Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Good people, Jesus taught in the book of John chapter 8 and verse 24 that if man does not believe that He is the Christ, that they will die in their sin. Understand that that's not only talking about that they, when they pass from this life, that they will die in their sin, but they will be dead in their sin as they stand before our God in the day of judgment. And you and I need to do all that we can to be that voice crying out into the wilderness of doubt round and about us for people to believe with all of their heart that indeed God wants and that God has devised a plan in Christ to save mankind. But also, John came as a voice crying, "Be humble in a wilderness of pride." John was a very humble and contrite individual. The Bible identifies for us that his entire life revolved around God. He knew what it was that he came to do. He realized his purpose. And this purpose became the focal point of everything that this man consisted of. Everything that he thought about. Every action that he performed while he was here upon the face of the earth. And good people, in this, as we consider John, what is it then that John said that would help us to conclude that he was a very humble man? He realized that he was not the bridegroom. The bride is indeed the body of Christ. It is members of the Lord's church. And Jesus Christ Himself is the bridegroom. And John knew that He was not the bridegroom, but rather He was the friend of the bridegroom. And he states this explicitly. He could have easily said when he was questioned, "I'm the Christ." And good people, I believe that probably the context of their questioning and such, and what these people were looking for, that he probably could have gotten away with that. But John was not like that. He knew that it was not about him. In fact, we also understand that John, as John was baptizing the disciples of Jesus and the disciples of John, seemed to be in competition with each other. And in all of this, John identifies to his disciples, to his followers, that he must decrease and that he, meaning Jesus, must increase. What's he trying to say? He says, "I have come to prepare the way." And he says, "I've done the preparatory work. And as a result of this, now it's time for me to fade out of the picture." Why? Because the one that I came to prepare the way for, he has come. He is here. And for that reason, John says, he will increase and I must decrease. And good people also understand that whenever John had it revealed unto him, there at our Lord's baptism, John said that it was identified to him, as we've already mentioned, that this was indeed the Christ. And note what John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away sin." Good people, I can see John pointing at or towards Jesus as his disciples, John's followers, were standing by saying, "This is the one that you want to follow. It's not about me, but it is about him." You and I, in the world of pride, could easily get caught up in the things that this world has to offer and all that will bring us pleasure. Why? Because pride goes after those type of things. But you and I must make certain that we humble ourselves. How will we be able to humble ourselves? Paul in Philippians chapter 2 verses 5 and 8 says, "Let this mind be in you." Whose mind? What mind? The mind of Christ. What type of mind did Jesus have? He says he humbled himself. To what end? He took upon himself the form of a bondservant. And good people, you and I need to humble ourselves and to realize that we are not only citizens in the kingdom of God, but we are servants in the kingdom of God. We need to make certain that we do not allow ourselves to be pride-filled. Why? Because according to what Peter said by way of inspiration in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, God resists the proud. He doesn't want anything to do with those who are pride-filled. In fact, the Proverbs writer tells us in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and following, that a proud look is one of the things that stand as an abomination before our God. And for this reason, you and I need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. James chapter 4 and verse 10. And God will lift us up. That same passage back in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 and verse 6, if memory serves me correct, where he says God resists the proud, he gives grace unto those who are humble. And certainly if we want to be recipients of the grace of God, you and I need to make certain that we humble ourselves and that we in like figure serve as that voice crying out into this wilderness, into this world of pride, for the world to humble itself and to be submissive to the law of our God. John came as a voice crying, "Be brave in a wilderness of cowards." John did not fear the consequences of the work that he came to do. He went out in a very bold manner, proclaiming, doing, identifying the problems that people had in their lives. And in all of this, good people, John never worried about what the ramifications were going to be for the things that he said, for all that he did. He was very pointed, but yet at the same time, he was very practical. He reprimanded Herod. Why? Because of his situation with Herodias. Good people, the Bible identifies for us that Herod and Herodias were living in an unlawful marriage, that they could not be married. Why? Because Herodias belonged to another man. And as a result of this, good people, John kept saying to Herod that you cannot be in this relationship. The Bible does not tell us if Herod had came to listen to John or if Herod had invited John to his house. The Bible does reveal to us that Herod was very interested in what John had to say. And good people, I believe that this helps us to understand the context of then how and why he was listening to what John was saying and why John was given the opportunity to preach and teach against this unlawful marriage. But understand, as it is presented, John didn't just mention this as he was preaching to a multitude of people and Herod is there and heard him. Also, we need to understand, it's not something that John mentioned to Herod one time and then backed away from it, but rather, according to the context, John kept saying to Herod, you cannot be in this relationship. He was on him constantly trying to provoke his thoughts concerning this sinful matter and wanting this man to turn from the error of his way. But good people, in all of this, the Bible tells us that John was imprisoned because of what he was doing. Because he did not tickle the ears of Herod. Also at the request of Herod's wife, we understand, is that eventually John was beheaded. Good people, a person doesn't get any bolder than that, correct? A person cannot be any braver than what we find concerning John and his life here upon the face of the earth. As Christians today, our world is saturated with cowards. We have some cowards in the brotherhood, preachers who will not stand and preach the truth, who will get up and try to tickle the ears of people, and they will not do what it is that God commands us to do. And shame on my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who will be cowards and not be brave soldiers in the kingdom. We need to make certain that we are working and doing what God commands us to do no matter what. But we live in a world of cowards. And as I thought about this, I thought, I know it airs on television, so I've got to be careful the way that I say things. When it comes to politicians, amen? We need politicians who will not be cowards, but rather who will turn and become men of God and stand for the foundation of which this country was built upon, in God we trust. We live in a world of cowards, and so easily you and I could conform to that. So easily you and I could fear our faith and our stand for God. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave and be strong. Why does he say this? Because Paul realized that the opportunity would come that they would face opposition. And Paul says, don't allow those who oppose you, don't allow those who stand in the way of you doing what God wants you to do to take you off course. He says, you need to be strong. You need to be brave. The Apostle Paul also in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need to be strong as soldiers in the kingdom of God. And we need to be that voice crying out into the lost and dying world to be brave. To be brave. To be brave and to come to God. To be brave in our service to God as we deal with the cowards of this world. Why do we not want to be cowards? Good people, first off, it'll hinder our work. But also, the Bible identifies for us is that it will destroy our opportunity for salvation. Note what John says in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Unbelieving, abominable, murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. We use this verse, and rightfully so, to say that we must not lie. Why? Because according to what is stated in the context, these people will find themselves in the lake of fire. But note the top of the list. Cowards. Let us never be cowards, but rather let us be brave soldiers and our work for the Lord. Tonight, as I stand before the congregation as a voice for the Lord, proclaiming His Word, I cry out to those who are not members of the Lord's church to think of your ways, to consider the state that you are now in. If you are living in sin, you are separated from God. However, as John proclaimed, there is a need for repentance and like figure. Tonight, as I stand before you, I cry out and say, repent of your evil and perverse, sinful ways, and turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord by confessing Christ to be the Son of the living God, submitting yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins.